I'm JP Tuesday.
And I'm Kiki Cannon. As lifelong Disney fans, the work of countless talented Disney creatives have shaped our lives.
Now, as the Disney catalog expands, we're taking a journey through film and television to discover if that spark that shaped us as children lives on in adulthood.
Does your favorite Disney media still cast that same spell? Join us as we find out. We are
Rewatching the Magic. Hi, Kiki.
Hi, Tuesday.
This is drugs. This is your brain on drugs. Any questions?
Anyone else feel like a fried egg?
Eggs.
Yeah. So, this episode will be going out on April 1st, April Fool's Day. So we decided to have a little bit of fun with this one and do something that technically is Disney, technically is not. But what the hell is our podcast? We can do whatever. Cartoon All-Stars to the Rescue. The anti-drug PSA that featured all of the top cartoons of 1990. And this special PSA, what have you, aired April 21st, 1990 on every channel. Like, I'm not even kidding. Like, every channel that had any kind of Saturday morning cartoon on it was airing this.
Yeah, I mean, every channel. I mean, yes, we had cable then, but remember that a lot of people didn't have cable still in 1990. Mm-hmm. And so it was the major four networks, ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, and a lot of local independent stations. Some of the cable stations did carry it as well.
Nickelodeon, Disney Channel, USA Network, TNT, again, all of them known for playing cartoons on Saturday mornings. BET.
The thing is that after this aired, it was also the weirdest VHS in the Blockbuster. Because it was a free rental. It was like a library rental at the Blockbuster.
And you could buy this at McDonald's. McDonald's was a co-producer on this project. And you could go to a McDonald's and buy this on VHS.
Yeah, for really cheap, too.
Yeah. Right after you visit Pizza Hut and get your Ninja Turtles coming out of their shell CD, you can go down to McDonald's and buy your Cartoon All-Stars to the Rescue VHS.
Yup.
It's still weird buying...
I miss old Pizza Hut. I don't know if you were that type of kid, but I was the type of kid that, like, you read all the books and you get the free Pizza Hut.
No, I was not that.
No, I was the type of kid that got free pizza all the time because I would read, like, 8 books a week. So they had the reading program that, like, you know, you read books all the time and they give you free pizza. And I was just constantly rolling in free pizza. Like, if you measured baller kids and how much pizza they got, I was a baller kid. But unfortunately, you could only get free pizza by reading books. So, you know, I was not a baller kid. it's like you don't have any friends, kid. Here's pizza by compensation.
They don't do much of that anymore, but again, that's just fast food is pushing on children. We got to stop that.
But you know what, like, I don't know if the trade-off is 12 books for a tiny pizza that fits in the palm of your hand, I'm okay making that trade-off, because that was about the trade-off. Like, for about every 12 books you read, you got a personal size pizza, which is small enough to fit in a child's hand. I mean, it was a tiny, tiny pizza, but when you're a kid, it's free pizza and you're not going to turn your nose up at it. And I was a voracious reader, so, you know, free pizza all the time for me, you know, like probably at least twice a month, free pizza. So, you know, and I was a skinny, skinny kid, so, you know, that's nothing. But anyway, I miss old Pizza Hut is my point.
Yeah, yeah. So the reason this exists is just it was right in the middle of the war on drugs, where after every kids show, they would air an anti-drug PSA of some variety.
I learned it by watching you.
Parents who use drugs have children who use drugs.
I've done some dopey things, but I'll never do dope.
Drug free's the way to be.
This is crack, rock cocaine. It isn't glamorous or cool or kid stuff.
Don't do drugs. If you're doing it, stop it. Get some help.
I got some stuff you just gotta try.
What is it? Pot. You know, marijuana.
Losers are losers, and losers are users. Don't use drugs. Don't use drugs.
It's so weird that people our age remember those so much.
Like the girl diving into the empty swimming pool. This is what drugs does to your life.
Yeah. Here's the thing. We are far enough away from that now that we know none of those worked.
In fact, one of the biggest programs for children to stop doing drugs, the DARE program, the Drug Abuse Resistance Education program that was in almost every school in the 80s and 90s, they did the study that actually more kids who were exposed to the DARE program did drugs than those who were not.
I'm going to say, I think the best, even though this isn't a Disney reference, the best thing to point out how DARE worked on our brains, I think, is that episode of South Park where they tell the kids, like, don't smoke.
Drugs are bad. Don't do drugs.
Well, no. It's they bring in that troop of actors or whatever, and they're like, and if you don't smoke, you can be just like us. And then it's a hard cut to the four boys under the bleachers, and they're just sucking down cigarettes like, come on, we have to smoke. We don't want to be like those guys. And I swear that's what DARE was. Is it's just a cop up there being like, drugs will make you high all the time. Drugs will make you think that the world is peppermints and rainbows. And like, as a kid, you're like, yeah, that sounds awesome. Because they taught us that right at the point in time where you start to realize that the world is not peppermints and rainbows. And then they're like, here's a thing you can get off the street. And like, it will turn the world into peppermints and rainbows. But for some reason, you don't want that. And it's like, why not?
It'll lead you down to the road of harder drugs like crack cocaine. And again, studies shown that that was garbage too.
Well, here's the thing is that one of the biggest lies that they told kids, and you could figure this out almost immediately if you were a kid in taking the DARE program at the time, is that they would constantly tell you people would just walk up to you and offer you massive amounts of drugs.
For free.
For free. Yeah. Now, here we are. We are both 42 years old at time of recording. Have you ever just had a rando wander up to you and be like, hey, dude, would you like a massive amount of free drugs?
No, never.
I mean,
I have to pay for the drugs I get with my insurance.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. is like trying to get drugs with your insurance is bad enough. You're kind of at the point in your life where you're like, I wish somebody would walk up and be like, hey, would you like your prescriptions for free? Yes, I would. Thank you. You have my vote. But like, now maybe at some point in your life you have run across a really good friend who is like, hey, I have some drugs. Would you like to sit in my house and partake in drugs with me? But that's a really good friend.
I mean, you know? Considering how much of these are going for on the street at time, yeah, you're not just going to give away product. It's not good business to give away product.
And that whole thing of, like, you know, dealers give away the first hit for free. Yeah, I've never really known that to happen either. Like, you know, drugs aren't really my thing, but, you know, I've never heard of anybody being like, yeah, my dealer got me hooked because they gave, like, people I know who have fallen into drugs, they went looking for drugs, like, you know.
Looking for drugs in all the wrong places.
Exactly. The thing is, though, is that so when you're a kid and they're like, yeah, people are just going to stop you on the street, and you kind of look around at your friends and you're like, so when was the last time that you were offered drugs? And all of your friends are like, never. That whole facade starts falling away very quickly. And then you start wondering, what else are they?
What else are these people lying to you about?
Yeah.
And apparently enough people thought like us because, and again, we have to preface this, we are in the United States. We are United States citizens, so our expertise comes from living in the United States.
DARE was a program run by the United States government, so yeah.
Yeah. And so people who grew up with the DARE program, people who are age and a little bit older, apparently thought the same, because as of 2024, all but four U.S. states have either legalized or decriminalized marijuana. So, in short, when it came to the war on drugs, drugs won.
Yeah. Go drugs, I guess. It was a good fight. You fought a good fight and you won.
Good game.
But the thing is that I, before we started recording, I sent you Tuesday a short scene from a HBO a couple of years back did a version of Fahrenheit 451 with Michael B. Jordan that was very bad. But it starts out in the first episode of this miniseries with the firemen who go around burning books doing a bit in a school where they're teaching kids, like, what do you do if you see a book? And, you know, all the kids are going like, boo, books, books are bad, you know. And they're all like, books will rot your brain, you know. And I watched this scene when it first aired with my father. And right in the middle of this scene, as these firemen are giving this, like, propaganda speech to this class of elementary school children, my father just has this giant, oh my God. And I went, what? And he goes, we did this to you. And I said, what? And he goes, this is DARE. And I went, what? And he goes, this is the DARE program. Just replace books with drugs. This is the cops in the schools being like, drugs are bad.
Yeah, even the YouTube clip you sent me, like the top comment is, this is what DARE was for us as kids.
It really is. And the thing is that the night it first aired, my father had this horrific realization, and just the look on his face, as like all the color drained on his face, as he was like, oh my God, this is what my generation did to you. Except it was drugs and not books. But it's the exact same type of propaganda. It's the authority figure coming in and being like, here's a thing we're going to tell you is harmful that's probably not as harmful as we're saying it is.
And that has been going on for decades. I mean, the original Reefer Madness, not the musical, and I love the musical because it satirizes the original film, but the original film with straight serious Reefer Madness was like, marijuana is the most dangerous drug in existence, and it'll lead you down to a life of debauchery, and it'll blah, 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 blah.
I mean, the original Reefer Madness says that smoking marijuana will literally turn you into a murderer. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the plot of the original film. And it's kind of interesting that, you know, the Reagans and the Bushes were so against anyone having fun.
Yeah.
Or chill vibes.
Considering their respective reputations, it is very hypocritical. But, you know, when has a politician let hypocrisy get in the way of a good story?
Yeah. I mean, supposedly Nancy was known to have a bit of fun, but...
We've mentioned it before, What We Do in the Shadows episode.
Yeah. But the thing is that we grew up in a time where literally everything was... Drugs are lurking around every corner, and it will ruin your life unless you are constantly vigilant against the menace that is drugs.
Fear everything.
Yeah. And I gotta tell you, maybe it's just because I am the least cool person on the planet, but right now, as I am speaking, if my life was on the line, I could not tell you where to buy drugs in my town.
I mean, I could, but again, I live in an area where marijuana is legalized and I can go down the corner to the THC shop and buy it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, if I still lived in Chicago, or if I lived in, like, California, or, you know, somewhere, like, yeah, I would have no problem going down, you know, ethically, I've got no problem with anybody going down to a THC shop and buying all of the edibles or whatever they want. Mm-hmm. You know, more power to you. Do whatever you want. But the thing is that I live in a place where, like, technically we have laws on the books that there are, like, three medical conditions that you can theoretically get medical marijuana for here, but they are so restrictive that I don't think anyone's actually met the requirements. Mm. So it's one of those things that's technically on the books, but I don't think anyone has ever gotten legal marijuana in my state. It doesn't mean that, like, it's not available here. I know it's available here, but I could not tell you where to find it because it's just, you know, I guess I'm not cool enough to know, like, where the hookup is.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, I say that to say, like, as a kid, I was taught that it was just going to be a constant thing, that I would just constantly be walking around the street and people were going to be coming up to me and being like, hey kid, you want pot? Hey kid, you want crack? Hey kid, you want, you know? Mm-hmm. And I've never had that happen to me in my entire life.
Guy in a trench coat hanging out outside the elementary school.
Yeah, you know. It's like when I was in school, I knew that there were people in the school who were selling things. I did not know who those people were. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like you would just hear rumors about, you know, that kid's a stoner or whatever, you know, but like you didn't, I mean, at least I didn't know where they were getting it from or how it was. It was just like, okay, magically they have drugs, I guess. But again, I was the least cool person in school. So.
Yeah, same.
Maybe
here.
It was just me.
So it's part of this whole don't do drugs, just say no and all that. The United States government, McDonald's, and Disney come together to form this PSA, Cartoon All-Stars to the Rescue, that would air on all the major networks with all of the popular Saturday morning cartoons in one special. This is why we kind of said it was one of the greatest crossovers of all time, because is it good? No, but what other special are you going to get, whether you're going to get the Smurfs, Alvin and the Chipmunks, the Muppets, the Ghostbusters, the Looney Tunes, and the Ninja Turtles?
It is a very weird conglomeration of characters.
It's weird how they chose which not only which franchises to represent, but who from those respective franchises. Like, we get, okay, the Smurfs. The Smurfs were big on Saturday morning in the 80s. We get Papa Smurf, obviously. Papa Smurf, he is kind of like the de facto leader of the Smurfs. Brainy Smurf, he's kind of like one of the more well-known characters that's not Smurfette. And Hefty Smurf? Of all the Smurfs, you would think Smurfette would make the most sense. But no.
You know, I'm going to go ahead and say that I think most of the characters were chosen because of who they could get as the voice actor. And Hefty Smurf is voiced by Frank Welker. He is your childhood.
Yeah, I mean,
and Frank Welker was already in there for two other franchises. So I think they were just like, yeah, we've already got Welker. Let's just put in Hefty Smurf.
Yeah. So let's kind of go through this, because we have our voice actors. Ross Bagdasarian Jr. as Alvin and Simon of the Chipmunks. His wife, Janice Kerman, as Theodore. They've been the Chipmunk voice actors for years. With the exception of the Fox movies, they have always been, as far as I've been alive, the voices of the Chipmunks. And now that I've reminded myself that Chipmunk movies are Fox, are they on the list?
We might get to them.
So we have Townsend Coleman as Michelangelo, our lone Ninja Turtle representative.
And he's also the dad who shows up for a little bit.
Yep. We have
Can we just stop and just talk about how adorable Townie is?
Yeah.
I mean, he's just wonderful. What a great guy.
I've never met the guy.
Never met him, but you know, he did work with our Magiswords friends on some stuff. Mm-hmm. And I have never heard a bad thing about him. And also, he is the Tick. He yeah. is the only Tick.
Not a fan of either live action series, I hear. I see.
You know, not really. One of them was better than the other, but he is the only Tick that matters.
Okay. Jim Cummings as Winnie the Pooh and Tigger.
I mean, he's been that for most of our lives.
Still is.
And still is, yeah.
So good at playing Winnie the Pooh and Tigger that they had him play it in the Christopher Robin movie.
Yeah.
Paul Fusco as Alf, the only actor who's ever played Alf. We have to explain Alf, don't we?
I mean, can you explain Alf?
He's an alien. His name is Gordon Shumway. He's from Melmac, and on Melmac, his species eats cats.
And he's awesome. I mean, Alf was my jam as a kid.
One of the most popular sitcoms of the 80s.
Transition. With one of the worst endings of a TV show ever.
Yeah, just ended on a cliffhanger. How did Alf end? The feds came and got him. Then they did a TV movie like 10 years later, but no one ever talks about that.
Yeah, but I mean, man, Alf. Alf was the greatest.
Alf is back in Pog form.
Yeah. I had Alf plushies. Ugh.
Yeah, and after the popularity of the sitcom led to a cartoon, which is where we get
which
this.
We were talking about it, and you said that you remembered there was a cartoon, but you did not remember the cartoon. Like, you don't remember anything from the cartoon, and I'm going to agree with you on that. We both watched this cartoon, and we do not remember the cartoon.
I remember the theme song coming going, Gordon, Gordon. That's all I remember.
But it is very bizarre that we both watched this cartoon and we do not remember anything from the cartoon.
Don Messick, a legendary voice actor, as Papa Smurf. Lorenzo Music is Garfield, the still, to this day, the greatest voice actor for Garfield, and most cartoon representations of Garfield are just impressions of Lorenzo Music's Garfield. I mean, to the point where they got Lorenzo Music's Garfield is just a Bill Murray impression, so when they did the first Garfield movie, they just got Bill Murray. This is another one we get to talk about. Probably the only time of OG Muppet Babies, because we've got three of the OG Muppet Babies. Laurie O'Brien as Baby Piggy, Russi Taylor, rest in peace, legendary Russi Taylor as Baby Gonzo, and Frank Welker as Baby Kermit. We're never really going to talk about classic Muppet Babies because it's not streaming anywhere. There's a lot of legal tape around OG Muppet Babies. Because they used a lot of trademark, copyrighted footage in their episodes, and mostly of it being the during the imagination segments, they would use a lot of photographs for their background. So they would likely have to get permission for those video clips that they used and for those photographs that they used. And if I'm Disney, it's more trouble than it's worth. I love OG Muppet Babies, but yeah, we're probably never going to cover that.
And I'm going to say one thing. As far as I know, I may be wrong on this, but as far as I know, I think that Laurie O'Brien is the only woman to have ever voiced Piggy.
I think you're right. Frank Oz.
And now Eric, whose last name I'm forgetting. Who took over all of Frank Oz's characters. And pretty much every other time Piggy has had, you know, a puppeteer.
Eric Jacobson.
Eric Jacobson, thank you. Or has had a puppeteer or a voice actor, it has been a man. But I think Laurie O'Brien may be the only woman to officially voice Piggy.
Melanie Harrison, which I believe was for the 2018 Muppet Baby series.
Oh, okay. So I guess maybe just Baby Piggy is a woman.
Yeah.
And then she grows into a more masculine voice. I don't know.
I don't know what you're talking about, Kiki. I know, don't do the Piggy voice. And of course, Lucy Taylor also plays Huey, Dewey, and Louie because we have representation of DuckTales. Frank Welker, in addition to playing Hefty Smurf and Baby Kermit, is Slimer from the real Ghostbusters. As of this recording, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire just came out. I haven't seen it yet.
Neither have I.
I will say that each character, at least it feels like at the beginning of the episode, they try to have explanations for why these characters are here. Like, okay, the Smurfs are a comic book. Pooh Bear is a teddy bear. Kermit is a clock.
The Garfield lamp. Oh, my God.
It should have been a phone.
It should have been a phone. But that Garfield lamp was also a thing. Mm. So, not entirely out of... The thing is that I... My favorite part of that opening sequence when they're all coming to life is that Alf threatens to eat Garfield.
It's in character.
It is, because as you mentioned, his species eats cats. But also, Garfield, like, if you know anything about the creation of Garfield, and I'm sorry if you're, like, a huge Garfield fan or whatever, Jim Davis just created Garfield to be, like, a merchandising thing. Garfield was never meant to be, like, funny or interesting. He was just meant to be a cash grab.
A mascot.
Yeah, I mean, he's meant to be a phone and a lamp and a plushy toy, you know?
And the sticky toy you put at the back of your car.
Yeah. And so, like, when Garfield's like, nah, I'm just gonna stay here and be a lamp and talk about lasagna. And Alf is like, you know, get up before I eat you. Like, we got stuff to do. And, like, pulls the lamp out of the back of Garfield. I'm like, you know, that is super based, and I love you, Alf. Like, Alf was at least created to be funny, and I'm gonna say Alf is the only character in this entire special that has lines that are actually funny.
And I think that has a lot to do with Paul Fusco, who is the creator and who is the actor, having some sort of say in what his character says.
Again, yeah, Alf has actually funny lines, and it's the only time this special was kind of interesting.
Like, when the creator of the character is also the voice actor for the character, the performer for the character, you would say that he would have a bit more, okay, I'm not saying this, I'm going to say this instead, and it'll actually be funny. Whereas, again, Jim Davis, it's like, just have Garfield say whatever, as long as the check clears.
You know, if you know anything about Paul Fusco, he's slightly cracked in the head, but he
has respect for the Elf character.
I mean, you can say a lot about the character.
You say a lot about the person, but he has a lot of love and respect for the character he created. His character should be treated with... He wants his character to be treated with respect. Long time ago, during around this time, the Muppets wanted to work with Fusco to use Alf in Muppets Tonight. But Fusco said no because he did not want Alf to be seen as a puppet. Alpha's not a puppet. Alpha's an alien. The Muppets are puppets. He doesn't want his character to be seen as a puppet, even though the character was a puppet. Again, you could say a lot about him as a person, as a businessman and whatnot, but he at least had that level of, I want my characters to be treated with respect. So if he wants his character to be funny, he's going to have his character be funny.
Yeah, the only other funny line that I found was courtesy of Gonzo. Because it would be tragic to have Gonzo in this and not have Gonzo be funny. Mm-hmm. Where there is a bit... And this was the most messed up part of this special for me. Which is the part where they meet The one Ninja Turtle?
Yeah.
They end up in a sewer, and Michelangelo is like, yeah, you want to see what drugs can really do to you? And then he pulls a drain plug out of the sewer and washes the kid down into a deeper level of the sewer, which is apparently where the Muppet Babies live. And it's an acid trip.
Yeah, and they simulate highs and lows from drugs as a roller coaster.
Yeah, what I love about this is that, first of all, there is a lower level to the sewer, and it leads to the Muppet Babies, which already is like, ow. And two, somebody involved in this production was like, hey, how do we simulate hard hallucinogens? You know, Jim Henson was probably on some LSD. Let's do that. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And then Gonzo just looks at a camera. Of course, this is only one person's interpretation.
Yeah. But at one point, the trip starts going really bad. And Gonzo goes, exit brain, weirdos and pigs first. Which really made me laugh, because it was a very Muppety line.
It's a very Gonzo, it's a very baby Gonzo line, because baby Gonzo really did have this thing for Piggy.
Yeah. I guess that was before he discovered chickens.
He had a stuffed chicken named Camilla, and then ended up marrying a real chicken named Camilla.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you do you, Gonzo. Mm-hmm. I fully support you and the life you want to lead. If you've never seen this thing, first of all, it is on YouTube for free.
It's on many YouTubes. A lot of people have loved this.
Yeah, it's on like tons of YouTubes. And we did not say this, but absolutely you have to watch a version that contains George and Barbara Bush doing their like introduction about how important this thing is, because it contains George H.W. Bush and his wife Barbara Bush and their dog Millie. And yes, Millie was the best part of the Bush family. I remember that dog. He's an adorable dog. I love spaniels. But Barbara, through this entire opening, is manhandling poor Millie.
Like, she is holding Millie's muzzle shut with her hands.
Yeah, it is really weird. And I was like, you know, if Millie bit Barbara's hand off, I would be okay with it, because I don't know what she is doing to that dog.
Like, it's 30 seconds, and it feels like, okay, Millie's been barking a lot every take we make. We're just going to hold this dog's mouth shut so she doesn't bark.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there, but I feel so bad for that dog. Mm. And you know that they're like, put Millie in the opening because kids like dogs. But Millie is like, you are not putting me in this propaganda crap.
Dogs always know.
Yeah, dogs are like, you're not putting me in it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's just it. If dog does something unprompted, it's because it's something bad. But as I was saying through the beginning, because I wanted to get through my thing here, because like, okay, for some reason Alf is a picture. Like, this kid just has a picture of Alf on their desk. So, but most of the characters in the beginning, okay, they make sense. Like, okay, the Smurfs started off as a comic, so them coming out of a comic book makes sense. The Chipmunks started in music, so them coming out of a record album makes sense. And then just Slimer shows up. He's just Slimer.
I think we're supposed to think he was just haunting this little girl's bedroom.
One thing I do love is that every time a new character shows up, their theme song plays.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
So, like, Slimer shows up and you hear the Ghostbusters theme. Michelangelo shows up and you hear the Ninja Turtles theme song. So as to get that big, you know, heroic, these are the characters you know, kids. You know those theme songs.
The thing about the picture of Elf, though, like, I want to say, like, as a kid, but, like, I don't know, even as an adult, I have random pictures of characters around, you know?
Can you imagine, like, the modern version of this, and it's an adult in his 40s collection of figurines coming to life? Hey, we saw you when you were a kid, told you to get off drugs, and you're kind of still smoking pot. Dude, it's legal now. Go away.
Yeah, that would actually be hilarious, and I would love to see that.
Like, the one
I am currently looking around my room and being like, what would be talking to me if I were in this?
Like all of your Funko Pops come to life. As their character. Yeah,
there's like 17 versions of Loki, 5 versions of Jareth, an entire wasteland full of like Fallout bobbleheads.
Yeah.
You know, the Fallout characters would be like, wait, you have drugs? We want drugs. Because drugs are like a massive part of the Fallout franchise.
Chems, man, I need those chems.
Yeah, it's just like, what kind of chems you got? You got Mentats?
Give me the sight.
Yep. Thank you, Mama Murphy. But yeah, no. So it starts out, like, if you've never seen it, it starts out with like someone sneaking into this little girl's room and stealing her piggy bank, and then all of the characters in her room come to life to be like, hey, we've got to tell little girl that somebody stole her piggy bank. And it turns out to be her older brother who's trying to, like, steal the change out of his little sister's piggy bank so he can afford pot.
Then there's, like, the scene that is probably the, other than the song, it's the scene that gets memed and shared on social media. It's just the chipmunks and Alf looking at this boy's box of drugs, and then Simon saying, marijuana.
Yeah, first of all, they're like, what's in the box? Which, of course, immediately I'm like, what's in the going box? Into what's Brad in the Pitt mode, like, yeah. What's in the box? But also, the stuff in the box does not look like drug stuff.
Does not look like any kind of drug paraphernalia that exists in the real world.
You know what it kind of looked like to me? It kind of looked like somebody's sage smudging kit.
Like, there's a box of matches and some roaches, but that's about it.
I mean, they didn't even look like roaches to me. It kind of looked like a bundle of sage. Mm. It looked like the dude was into smudging. Like, it's like the dude's not into drugs, he's into witchcraft. Like, you know? Which in my house would have been worse. Like, growing up as like an ultra religious kid, I think my family would have rather have found me with drugs than with like witchcraft paraphernalia. And guess which one I had? But the thing is like, it's kind of funny because the one thing we haven't talked about is our villain of the piece.
Smoke. My favorite Mortal Kombat character. Played by George C. Scott?
Yeah, it's George C. Scott doing the villain. Not as cool as the villain from Fern Gully. But in a very similar vein.
Not as cool as the Mortal Kombat character either.
Well, yeah, but he is voiced by George C. Scott, so, you know. Mm-hmm. The the thing is like, it is, this is the most propaganda villain. And it's hilarious because it's just like this, like, weird little gangster dude made out of smoke. And he's just, and I mean like 1920s gangster, you know, like not 80s gangster, you know, but you know, he's just hovering around the teenage boy being like, you need to do more drugs. Come on, Pally, do more drugs. Like, steal your little sister's change out of her piggy bank.
What are you doing smoking this weed stuff? We gotta get into crack, man.
No, it's like crystal meth or something. Like, I don't know what it's supposed to be, but it kind of looks like meth. It might be crack, I guess, because it's the 80s, but I guess crack was more popular then, but I don't know. It's just like some dude in the 14-year-old club he goes to.
It's an arcade. It's the 80s. Arcades are everywhere.
Right. That's right. It's at the arcade. That's right.
And this is another, this is where we get to the next one here. The next character I want to talk about really quickly. Because Smoke and the kid are running and they think they're being chased by a cop. But it turns out to be Bugs Bunny.
Who almost has a funny line. Just because I have long ears doesn't mean there's nothing between them.
Bugs Bunny here, voiced by Jeff Bergman. And Daffy Duck appears in this as well, also voiced by Bergman. And I want to point this out because this is the first Looney Tunes project to be done after the death of Mel Blanc. So Jeff Bergman becomes the first person to voice Bugs Bunny that's not Mel Blanc. This anti-drug propaganda PSA crossover special. Bergman does his best to try to sound like old man Mel Blanc. And I think that was intentional because that is Who Framed Roger Rabbit had just come out like, what, a year or two prior?
Yeah.
So that's what most kids would think Bugs Bunny sounds like. So Bergman trying to sound like old man Mel Blanc's Bugs Bunny makes sense in this context. Definitely ain't Eric Bauza's Bugs Bunny.
No, not at all. I mean, he does a decent job.
Like I said, he sounds enough like Bugs Bunny that as a kid I didn't know the difference. But again, it sounds like old man Mel Blanc, not 1940s Mel Blanc.
Yeah. Bugs Bunny has the weirdest bit in here.
Yeah, he gets a time machine, which he says he's borrowing from Wile E. Coyote to take the kid back in time.
Not appearing in this film, by the way.
Yes, no. Yes, even we only get two Looney Tunes. We only get Bugs and Daffy. That's all you're getting. And he has a time machine that he borrows from Wile E. Coyote to take the teenager back in time to when he first tried drugs. This also falls under the Bill and Ted rule of time travel, which means that you cannot return to the same point in time that you left. Because as this is going on, the little girl is worried about her brother and trying to talk to her parents. Oh, hey. I'm worried about my brother. Oh, Dad, you say that your beer is missing. Maybe brother took them.
Yeah, we don't really get into the fact that he's stealing beer. It's just kind of a one-off line.
Yeah, it's, my beer is missing. Oh, honey, you probably drank it last night. So not only do we have a kid that's using drugs, but a potential alcoholic father that is just glossed over.
Well, no, I mean, I think that the point is that the kid is stealing beer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we don't actually really get an acknowledgement other than one line.
Yeah.
But Bugs gets the weirdest line in this, which is that he's trying to explain to the kid why he shouldn't do drugs, and he's having kind of a argument with Smoke in front of the kid, and Smoke's like, yeah, but drugs gives you a high and it makes you feel good. And Bugs goes, yeah, drugs make you feel good for a while, and then sooner or later, and he pulls out an air pump, and he, like, blows up Smoke until Smoke pops. And then he turns to the kid and goes, is that what you want, Doc? And I'm like, sooner or later, what, Bugs?
You get inflated?
Like... The best thing you can say about that is, like, sooner or later the high stops. And I kind of want to go, like, but that's true of any, like, dopamine thing. Like, sure, cookies taste good now, but sooner or later you're out of cookies.
The sugar high goes away.
Yeah. And it's like, that's true of everything. Like, happiness of any sort is not eternal.
And there's another line here. Okay, this line really only works because it's Bugs Bunny, because the Looney Tunes have fourth wall breaking powers. Where Smoke says, oh, are you really going to take drug advice from a cartoon? And he looks, and even Bugs just looks at the camera. Really? Look who's talking. As if which makes the cartoon, even the people making this cartoon aren't really serious about, like, really kids are going to take drug advice from cartoons. But because it's the villain saying it, we're not supposed to think of it seriously. But as you said before, with, you know, high and high and low and the lows, it really gets in more into it with the Muppet Babies part, because, like I said, they go psychedelic and treat a drug trip like a roller coaster ride. You know, it starts to feel good, you know, you get high, but the higher the high, the lower the low. But again, that's the same of, like you said, the same of any dopamine trip. You get a lot of cookies. Yeah, you have a lot of sugar in you, but then that crash happens. Same with caffeine and any other things that'll make you feel good. At some point, that good feeling goes away.
You go on vacation and you're like, yeah, vacation is awesome. And then you come back home and you're like, yeah, home, you know?
Yeah.
Like even stuff that people are like, yeah, that's not harmful in the slightest. It does the same thing to your brain. I mean, and I'm not saying that there are not drugs that have harmful side effects. Yes, of course. Duh. You know, I'm not saying, like, everybody go out and do meth, you know, like, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm just saying, like, you can't be this shallow with things. Life is more nuanced than that.
But they're talking to, we talked about this before, you know, they're talking to children who don't even know if they're angry or hungry yet.
Yeah.
But there's this one part that I had forgotten this part, but Kermit says, you know, sooner or later, you know, you take more and more drugs to get a bigger and bigger high, and then you get a bigger and bigger low to the point where you're taking drugs just to feel normal. And in today's world, there are so many neurodivergent people and people with various chemical imbalances that they're already taking drugs just to feel normal. So screw you, Kermit. Never thought I'd say screw you, Kermit, but yeah.
Screw you, person who put those words in Kermit's mouth.
Because I don't want to say that to Kermit, and I don't want to say that to Frank Welker, whoever wrote this.
Yeah. It's one of those things of, you're not entirely wrong, but you're also an asshole, you know?
Can we talk? Because at this point, we get the song.
And we got to talk about who wrote the song.
So we have our song in here, Wonderful Ways to Say No, which was written by Alan Menken and Howard Ashman. Yep, the same people that wrote songs for The Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, and Aladdin wrote this song. I did mention this was a co-production of Disney.
Come on, guys. Were you that hard up for money?
Probably a contract thing.
Maybe.
So you have all of the characters here singing about all the different ways you can say no to drugs. And if anyone tries to push drugs on you, you have all of these all these wonderful ways to say no. Like, I have to go to a baseball game. I'm allergic. A couple of years back, some people completely reanimated this scene. It's one of those scenes that get reanimated by like a dozen different animators. One of those animators being good friend of the show, Kale Kuroza, creator of Might and Magic Sword. So if you haven't seen that, do so.
I like that one of the ways to say no is that my sister's hamster died.
These are just really, really bad excuses. Like, not just say no to drugs, but, oh, I can't go out with you because my sister's hamster died.
Yeah.
I'm washing my hair Saturday night.
Yeah, Piggy says it's bad for her complexion.
And then does her trademark hi-ya by doing a Kamen Rider kick into the screen.
Yeah.
Subplot of this is Smoke also starts getting to the sister's head that, oh, hey, maybe if you start doing drugs too, you and your brother can be friends again, and you can be friends doing drugs together. I get that what they were trying to do with this, that it's one of those big things of turning the kid around, the scared straight. Oh, scared straight. I just reminded myself of that.
Ugh, yeah.
Oh, do we have to explain scared straight?
Where you, like, put kids in jail and have inmates scream at them in hopes that they'll be like, I don't ever want to go to jail. I mean, pretty sure nobody's like, hey, you know where I want to go today? Jail. Like,
yeah, and the whole thing, I mean, there's not much of a story here, but it really comes down to the boy has to make a choice. Does he choose drugs or does he choose his sister? And he ultimately chooses his sister for the happy ending. But Smoke says, oh, you can't get rid of me that easily. I'll be back. A nice little, the closest way you can do in a kid's cartoon to say that addiction isn't a one-shot defeat. It's a never-ending process. But then they say, oh, we'll talk to mom and dad about your drug addiction. We'll get you the help you need. And all of the cartoon characters come together on this big poster in their room to remind him to just say no to drugs. And that's how the cartoon ends. Yeah, this is pure propaganda about drugs and completely misrepresents marijuana. As again, we know now that, you know, don't go doing heavy machinery while you're high. Fine, don't do that. That's just dumb. It's like operating heavy machinery when you're drunk. Don't do that. But like, if you're drinking alcohol in your home and you're not bothering anybody, nobody cares. If you're smoking cigarettes in your home and no one's around, nobody cares. All of a sudden, because it's marijuana, oh, you must be a bad person.
Yeah. There is a bit of the, you know, marijuana is a gateway drug kind of thing in this, mm-hmm. which has been proven, you know, false over and over again. But the thing about it is that mostly the kid's problem is he smokes a little pot. Now, the thing with that is that it is a very bad idea for a kid his age to smoke pot. And the reason is that there is proof that smoking marijuana at that age has a detrimental effect on the development of the brain. You know, I'm one of those people that I'm for the legalization of marijuana, but much like alcohol, I'm for it having like an age where you can buy it.
Agreed.
Legally.
I'll agree with that.
Because we do have studies that prove that if you start partaking of it too young, there are problems in the development of the brain.
That same with smoking cigarettes.
Yeah, same with all that. So, like, you know, once you get past that age where your brain is developed, there is less danger of that, you know? And at that point, you're also old enough to make your own damn decisions about your body, you know? It's like you said, you know, if you're not, like, driving a car or operating heavy machinery, you want to sit around your house and have alcohol or, you know, have THC in whatever form or whatever, I have no problem with that. Mm-hmm. So, it's like, eh. But I'm much more for the, like, let's go ahead and regulate it and try to keep, like, younger kids from doing it, mostly because we have proof that there is detrimental effect on the brains of younger kids as they're developing. Hmm. Because that's just what the science shows. I don't think there's as much science showing that adults have as much problem with that.
More problems than drinking alcohol, you know?
Yeah, it's no more danger. And I think, you know, once you're an adult, if you want to do that, fine, it's your own body. But that to me is the thing, is like, I think if you put out more things of like, you know, hey, doing alcohol too young can like mess up your brain later in life. Wait until you're X age and your brain has stopped developing. I think that works better. Not foolproof. People are always going to do what they're going to do.
I mean, teenagers drink alcohol.
Yeah.
You know, but that wasn't what the Just Say No program was about. It was about fear-mongering.
Yeah.
It was about pushing the fear of literal God, actual God, into your brain overdoing drugs. Not you can do drugs in moderation, or you can do, you know, don't do it too early or you screw your brain up. It's just don't do drugs ever, or because that way you're a bad person and you don't want to be a bad person. You don't want to make your mom and dad cry, do you?
And if you've ever met a teenager, yeah, that's kind of the entire point of being a teenager.
That was the entire point of using the popular Saturday morning cartoons of the day is, hey, kids, all those cartoons you like are telling you not to do drugs. Don't you want to listen to your favorite cartoon characters to not do the drugs and all of that to get push it into the kid? And the kids are, and your favorite Saturday morning cartoons are telling you that drugs are bad and you're bad if you do drugs. So don't do drugs, and your favorite cartoon characters will like you, be your friends, and sing you songs and stuff.
Don't you want to be cool like Winnie the Pooh?
Hey, kids, you like the Ninja Turtles? Michelangelo said drugs are cool, but he eats a lot of pizza and talks like a stoner, so whatever. You know what really would have been counterproductive? If putting Shaggy in here. Don't do drugs, man!
You'll end up just like me. Scared of everything.
Yeah.
With the munchies all the time.
So does this thing have the magic? It has magic if you want to make fun of it. But
I mean, honestly, I would suggest if you want to watch this, get high and then watch it. Because it's probably better.
Ironically, yeah. Get some edibles. Get some edibles.
If they're legal in your area.
Yeah, if they're legal in your area. If they're legal in your area. Get some edibles and have a good time watching this. But this is straight propaganda. This is straight, like, taking advantage of children's trust in their favorite characters. So, it was fun.
I mean, you can enjoy the least boppy bop that Menken and Ashman ever wrote. I mean, it's still a bop because it's Menken and Ashman, but it's like...
It's the least. Just Say No to Drugs PSA song.
I mean, and you can tell they wrote it half asleep one morning.
They probably were on something when they wrote it.
Yeah. You know that they're like, excuses for hamster died. Yeah, sure. That's a thing kids can relate to. They're always killing hamsters.
Sure. So anyway, I have this really great song for Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
Belle.
Let's get back to the stuff that's going to win us Oscars, not the stuff that's going to have us mocked by an entire generation.
So does this have magic? No. No, it doesn't. And it's fun to mock it. And it's fun to kind of say, oh, it's the greatest crossover of all time. Again, tongue firmly put in cheek when I say that.
Yeah, but, I mean, there's the reason this is the April 1st episode.
Yeah. But, it's on YouTube. It's probably public domain because it was a government PSA for, I don't know. It's on YouTube. Check it out if you haven't. It's worth watching to mock it and what they get wrong in. Because they get a lot of stuff wrong on how marijuana works, but it's also...
Yeah, at one point the marijuana makes the kid fall into a K-hole, and I'm like, that's not how that works.
But a lot of it is fear-mongering just to scare kids off drugs and all that, but it's... There's no magic here other than seeing all of the more popular Saturday morning cartoons of 1989, 1990 in one cartoon. That's really the only thing this is good for. Other than that, no magic. I don't know about you.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's there to mock and, you know, have fun with, but
there's a reason so many online reviewers have made fun of this. Although you did tell me before we started recording how you had the poster they showed at the end of this in your school with all of the cartoon characters say with a Just Say No to Drugs message.
Yeah, I think it was in the library in my middle school or something.
All of them with their thumbs up. Hey, say no to drugs, kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you want to know why millennials are so messed up, go watch this.
Yeah. So let's move on from this. Next week, let's talk something that's actually good. Night at the Museum. I don't think I've seen this movie the entire way through. I've seen parts of it.
I've seen a couple of clips here or there, but this will be a first watch for me.
And Ben Stiller. Robin Williams, a legend. This one's good. It's going to be a fun watch next week, going into finally getting into the Night at the Museum franchise. And so come back next week for the first Night at the Museum movie. And we'll talk to you all next time. Bye.
Bye.
Don't let the magic stop here. Join our conversations on Facebook, Instagram, and Threads at Rewatching the Magic. We are on the X, formerly known as Twitter, at Rewatch the Magic. And new episodes are available every week at rewatchingthemagic.podbean.com. Remember, magic is for everyone. It only stops if you let it.
Podcasts are fun.
But there's work to be done.
We encourage you to get involved. Here are some organizations we support.
The American Civil Liberties Union fights for the constitutional rights of all Americans. Find them at ACLU.org.
The National Network of Abortion Funds helps people find access to safe abortion services. Their site is abortionfunds.org.
The Trevor Project provides a 24/7 crisis helpline for LGBTQ youth and education services for schools on LGBTQ issues. They can be found at thetrevorproject.org.
Or find a way to help in your area.